This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. This week, the Supreme Court announced it would not hear cases about the use of victim impact statements, testimony given in the criminal sentencing process to demonstrate the human toll of a crime. One of the cases involved Douglas Oliver Kelly, a man who was convicted of a 1993 first-degree murder and rape and was put on death row in California. Before the jury considered whether or not to sentence Kelly to death, they watched a 20-minute video montage narrated by the mother of the 19-year-old murder victim, Sarah Weir. The montage is made up of still photographs and home video clips that follows Sarah from her birth.
Sarah was born on May 7, 1974, in Calgary, Alberta. Most of these pictures were taken during July and August of that year.
To the time of her death.
As time goes by, I try very hard not to think of Sarah in terms of this terrible crime.
You may have noticed the background music. That's Enya, the lushly orchestrated, vaguely new-agey Irish vocalist, whose performance actually became an issue in the case. Evan Young, the public defender who handled Kelly's appeal, argued that using Enya made the testimony unduly prejudicial.
Unduly prejudicial means that the excessive emotion of the evidence overwhelms the possibility that a decision by a jury could be reliable, accurate, not arbitrary.
Now, you could argue that victim impact statements in and of themselves are prejudicial because they're designed, in fact, to generate emotion among a jury. But the Supreme Court has ruled, no, victim impact statements, they're okay.
The theory behind them did not have to do with emotion. It had to do with allowing the state the same ability that a defendant had, which in a capital case, a defendant is allowed to put on evidence to show his or her life, you know, what happened to him or her growing up. And the court wanted to balance that. While the court acknowledged that this kind of evidence could be emotional, they also put in the idea that if it became too emotional and so infected the process that it rendered it fundamentally unfair, then that would cross the line and violate due process.
But you're saying at some point it really gets ridiculous.
Well, that's right. I mean, when you start talking about introducing videotapes, films, especially ones set to music, I mean, there really is no other reason other than to play to someone's emotion.
In fact, in your petition to the court, you used a quotation of the American composer Aaron Copland about the power of music, not only to soothe the savage breast, but to get it agitated.
He was discussing his score for the film Of Mice and Men, and he said that the score is designed to strengthen and underline the emotional content of the entire picture. And then he went on to say that the quickest way to a person's brain is through his eye, but even in the movies, the quickest way to his heart and feelings is still through the ear.
Now, what is, to my way of thinking, just truly bizarre about this case is that the California Supreme Court, whose decision you were appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court, the ruling was that some music was clearly too emotional, but others was just fine. They drew a distinction between Enya and, for example, James Taylor. What was that all about?
Well, you have the California Supreme Court trying to be music critics. They say that the music of Enya was generally soft, not stirring. And I don't know whether they're trying to make the distinction between the volume at which it was played or the emotion that it is supposed to inspire, but it seems like a difficult distinction to make.
Yeah, although, you know, you said that it puts judges and justices in the position of being music critics, but it sounds more like it puts them in the position of being, I don't know, psychoneurologists determining at what point people's emotions are affected by a certain vocalist.
Well, exactly, and there's simply no way to know that. And, you know, as I pointed out in my brief, you would never allow a witness to testify in court accompanied by some sort of music. It just doesn't make any sense.
And in fact, it is unquestionably absurd to imagine it, and yet the victim's statement is testimony But the Supreme Court says, no, they're down with that. So what's your next move?
Just to keep on presenting this argument to the trial court and the appellate court and hope that the issue makes its way back to the Supreme Court in a case in which they find it worthy of another look. I think that they are going to have to address this situation in the near future. As I pointed out in my brief, the cases in California are coming fast and furious, and the videotapes themselves are becoming much more sophisticated.
Should you ever get to appear before the Supreme Court, as you make your oral arguments, who do you have as your music track?
Oh, James Taylor, absolutely.
Evan, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Evan Young is a senior deputy state public defender in the city of San Francisco.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.